on that curb at Saddle Brook, since so many people still go off that curb. I don't know. What speed? They hit it hard. Yeah. They hit it really fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're trying to discourage that. But that's all happening this year. Next year, I think it's mainly just overlays. Next year, we've got an overlay scheduled for Route 248 coming into town, coming into Branson, I should say. And then in 2025, we've got several overlays down in Hollister on the business route and also on Route BB. We also have Route F from 65 to 160. We're doing that, and also Route 376 there in the Branson area. Those are all scheduled for overlays in 2025. And then we also have some work on the bridge over the railroad tracks on the business route through Hollister in 2026. And so we'll be coordinating that. Rick brought it up at his Partners in Progress meeting that they were really hoping to get a three-lane section through town, so I need to make sure we have that discussion with our bridge engineer and see if we need to plan for a three-lane bridge through that area. But that's not till 2026. One other safety improvement we're doing that kind of relates to the area that I like to bring up is we are going to be putting more than likely a roundabout. We haven't met on this yet, but we did program it. We're going to be putting a safety improvement at Route 13 over north of Reed Spring. It's Reed Spring Junction, if you're local. We're putting probably a roundabout at that location. We've had a lot of requests for a signal. We tend to not put in high-speed signals anymore because with inattention, people literally will blast through a signal at times, and then we risk somebody's life thinking that they've got the right way and somebody goes through a red light. So we're probably looking at a roundabout for that. And that will actually happen next year because that was programmed with safety funds. We had at least one fatality accident in the last year, and we've started looking at crashes, and crashes in that location have been getting steadily worse. So we're going to address that fairly quickly.
So Beth, just real quick.
Yeah.
You mentioned this the other day. So a roundabout on 13?
Yes.
At the junction?
Yeah, where the Reed Spring Junction is, which is 160/248. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that I don't know how often you drive that. I drive quite a bit on my way back home from here. And that little bit of curvature and a hill seems to challenge people.
Yeah, coming up the hill and going in,
seems to challenge people. We did some improvements there a few years ago to add some turn lanes and try to offset the turn lanes to improve visibility, but we weren't seeing the results in the crash data.
Yeah.
We just had to step it up another notch.
I thought we talked after. I thought it was going to be on 160 at the old junction.
Oh,
it's actually
okay.
130.
Yeah, that would probably be a good candidate too, but it doesn't see the crashes for that we see at that location. And I think it's because of speeds, just volumes and speeds on 13.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on there. And then, of course, our big project that is coming up in July is the Long Creek Bridge was awarded. And so that's $66+ million. Big bridges are expensive. So we're having a pre-construction conference on that in late June. Contractor says they're going to get started July 5th, right after the 4th of July. But we also know they have a lot of permits and things that they have to get through the Corps of Engineers. So when they say started, maybe they're mobilizing some equipment, but I don't know that they will be able to just immediately go out and start drilling.
Yeah.
Drill foundations, so we'll see. I'm not sure how long that process takes for them. But that's coming up pretty soon. And I'll remind everybody that we are not closing down the existing bridge while we are building the other bridge. We're building, an alignment to the side of it. And there might be some closures, probably will be some closures when we tie in at each end, at the very end of the project. But they'll be minimal.
What's their scheduled time on that bridge?
Approximately. They've got a year and a half on that.
Oh, wow. Well.
I think. Check, but it's been, we had bid it out originally a few months ago, and the bids came in very similar. We did not choose to award because it was off from our engineering estimate. It was not what we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It was considerably higher.
roughly double.
Well, it was, I think we had internally in our district, we were thinking that it was going to be somewhere in the low to mid 40s.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like 37 or something.
No, we had expected something. And then when we talked to headquarters, they actually do their own estimating. We use historic bid tabulation, you know, like line items. They actually do a takeoff very similar to what a contractor does, where they look at the work and they figure out how they're going to approach the work and then they assign costs. And I think their engineering estimate was quite a bit higher than ours, but it still wasn't the 66 million. So we made some changes and tried some different things, and it made not one dent in the bid. So honestly, I was thankful that the prices didn't go up, considering it hit right in the middle of that whole process. So yeah. So we're at 66 million and change, and the bridge is two lane, Mike. Two. It's not four. it's two lane. With a pedestrian walkway, because we were anticipating there might be improvements in the future that might necessitate pedestrian access, and it would have been very, very expensive to try to retrofit a pedestrian walkway later. So I left him speaking.
Well, I just that we need to add another to that.
I'm sure your four lane that you were talking about would be well served down to the marina
right.
In that area. So.
Yeah, I think that seemed a great point. They know that we need more traffic coming from the west as well, but the main impacts we're assuming is going to come from 65, which I think is reasonable.
Yeah.
And so maybe long range and do another bridge there.
Yeah. Okay. 66 million. Okay.
One question. I drove it on Sunday. There's at 76 and, well, I guess it's old 76 and new 76, right there by Silver Harbor City at the bridge.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Are you talking?
The end of the high road.
Yeah. They,
I know nothing.
Well, no. They put like the traffic pylons to move. I mean, what was?
We have received multiple phone calls. Our traffic safety folks went down and looked at it Monday. I'm going to go look at it today after this meeting. We were attempting to convert traffic over to what will be the new traffic pattern whenever we come through with the next overlay,
gotcha.
Which I listed that as 2024, so we're a couple
yeah.
years out. We had a lot of complaints about Old 76 Road, which is the county road right after the bridge,
yeah.
that they did not have a turn lane. And we looked at the pavement, and we figured out we had enough pavement, but because of the way we merged traffic off of the bridge, we were pulling traffic from the right-hand lane into the left-hand lane.
Yeah.
We thought, well, we can swap these around, and then we can create an area which will be their left turn lane in the future. And so they had decided, our traffic safety folks decided, let's get people used to this pattern. We can do this. We put all the signs in, so there's all the signs that are required. And then they put delineators in to delineate the new lanes, and I think we probably should have tripled up on the delineators if nothing else. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, well, because it looks like we're squeezing back to one lane about 300 yards sooner than it has been, like going eastbound.
Yes, and
right.
that is part
yeah.
of it.
I was getting back on the highway, and I'm like,
yeah.
Mike, do I gotta go that way? Where's my...
Yeah, they put signs in multiple locations ahead of it to tell you, you need to be over in this lane
okay.
if you're going this way, you need to be over in this lane if you're going this way. And it would be interesting to talk to somebody who's non-local to see if they're interpreting
they got
it, or if it's just...
Yeah, because I didn't hear it. I would have been
sign.
Like, here's your sign, because I didn't get the sign.
Yeah. So I'm going to drive it today, because I don't drive through there that often, and I'll see if I can make a judgment call as to... I do know that we put a CMS board up to warn people that the new traffic pattern is there, because that was not in place on Friday when this all began. And we are going to add some additional turn lane, you know, arrows on the pavement to make sure people understand that if you're in this lane, you're turning left or you're going straight.
That makes sense.
So, which is probably what should occur last week with the rest of what went in. But they weren't anticipating that it was going to be that confusing, but apparently it is. So, I mean, you're not the first person
well,
to ask.
Well, I mean, as just you're, you know, on autopilot, and all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute, why, you know, just kind of comes up on you.
I was getting ready to bring it up myself, because I've seen people cutting from the left lane through the cones over into the right lane.
Yeah, I was told that those are, door knockers. Some people were telling me that they were metal. I was like, no, they're not metal. We had all different versions. I have a feeling it's a combination of local traffic using their pattern in their zone, and probably just us needing to provide more delineation so that it was very evident that you're not supposed to be weaving between the flexible lanes. We've been doing this for years, and you learn something new every day. Don't do a traffic pattern change on Friday.
Beth, what kind of update you got on the Beaver?
Beaver Creek, I had it on the list, but it is way out there. It is listed in 2027. We have had some initial meetings on it and talked with our environmental staff, because with that being actually on Corps property through there, we're anticipating, obviously some discussions with the Corps. And then you guys are maintaining that park down there, and so we're anticipating some special needs, special hoops that we will have to jump through on the environmental side to make sure that we can build a bridge. But what we are talking about right now is moving the bridge over to where the old alignment used to be. And that's going to be a challenge, because the old bridge was obviously much shorter and shorter in length and also shorter in height, because that was before the lake went in. So we're looking at trying to move over into that area, but there's some springs and there's some wetlands, and it's going to be a challenge. But we are planning on trying to achieve that and make sure that we can keep the road open by keeping the old bridge and building on the alignment. So 2027 will be before we know it, and we'll probably be working in the background on that up to the very deadline.
Between environmental concerns and Corps of Engineers. So. Okay. Jonas, you got anything to add or talk about or anything? Or
no,
Sheila?
I'm good.
Sheila? Yeah. Okay. We're ready to move on to the next deal, SimCog. So it's all yours.
So I'm Jason Ray, Executive Director of the South Wilson City Council Government, SimCog. Usually we have Victoria, who's our transportation planner, then facilitate these meetings. Victoria is on her way back from her brother's graduation in Virginia, and the flight got canceled, so you get me today.
That seems to be happening a lot.
Yeah. with me is Christopher Lynn, who's a new planning intern with our office, who's going to pass the documents in this room. So I think, as most of you know, SimCog, we're contracted with MoDOT to help do rural transportation planning in our 10-county regional planning commission area. We have a regional transportation advisory committee, or TAC, that's made up of two representatives from each of the 10 counties. They meet regularly. But their main task is to prioritize regional transportation needs, which then gets filtered on up to the Southwest MoDOT District with our other planning partners, so two other regional planning commissions and the Joplin Metropolitan Planning Organization. That then populates the STIP. So in Missouri, we've got a grassroots transportation planning framework. So the projects that are funded start at the local level and work their way up to Jefferson City instead of the other way around. So you all, I know, have a fabulous list that you keep updated and prioritized, and I've got the last one that I think you distributed at your March meeting. Typically, we just come once a year and make sure that our list that SimCog maintains kind of lines up with what you've got on your local list, primarily looking at the very top transportation needs. Again, because we're a 10-county region, typically we only look at the top three road and bridge projects for each county at the regional level, and then, again, take those to the district level. So we want to go through what our top priorities look like for the county. We've got road and bridge.